Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. Tim Hartman.
Brian.
Welcome to Berg Vivant. Good to be chatting with you here at
so happy
PMT
to be here.
Headquarters. It has been a heck of a year for you. You are one busy guy in Pittsburgh.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I starting in September, I've done Cotton Patch Gospel, Christmas Carol, Shrek, Les Mis, and now Seussical.
Yeah, that's...
I'm exhausted.
How do you keep it all organized up here? Is it...
Oh, it doesn't. No, there's no organization whatsoever. No, my wife will attest to that. Go sit in my car, you'll see.
Yeah.
I live out of it. The thing is, you know, you do one thing, and then I have to sort of just push it aside. Mm. So I probably couldn't sing you a note from Les Mis right now because it's all Seussical in there right now.
Yeah. Seussical's taking up all the real estate.
Yes, exactly right.
But yeah, I think a lot of folks who are familiar with you on the stage maybe don't realize everything else that you're doing on top of performing.
Yeah.
We were talking about editorial cartoons, right?
I'm a political cartoonist. I've been doing that since 1982 and running about 30 to 40 newspapers all across Pennsylvania.
Wow.
So I make fun of Pennsylvania politics, which doesn't seem too hard nowadays. Most of them are in jail, so, you know. And then I also I perform for children. I do assembly programs for children, and I do probably 150 of those a year. Assembly programs in front of 400 children, mm-hmm. Just me and a stool. And then I'm also do the main stage shows. I average about 70 a year. Mm. And then I'm also worship pastor at my church.
Jeez, what don't you do?
Windows. I don't do windows. I'm tall enough, but I refuse to do it.
You could boost somebody up to do them, I guess.
Yes.
But you know, it. What do you feel really keeps you here in Pittsburgh working? Because I imagine you could travel a lot, and maybe you do, but a lot of your work is here.
Well, I was in New York for 3 years. Just through happenstance, I got a Broadway show. It seemed happenstance. People spend their whole lives trying to get a Broadway show, and I just sort of fell into
Oops.
It. Oops. Didn't mean to. And I don't mean to sound that way. It's just that it happened because somebody liked me and brought me to New York, and I got in the show. So I was there for 3 years doing a couple shows, and I'll tell you what, I enjoyed the experience, but I missed doing all the other things I do. I when you're in New York and you're on Broadway, that's your job.
Mm-hmm.
And though I did cartoons still and sent them back to Pennsylvania, it was, I don't know, I missed performing for children, I missed working with my church, I missed... all the other aspects of my life, and I miss my family. So here in Pittsburgh, I have the opportunity to do commercials, to do voiceovers, which I do, to do main stage shows, to work with the symphony, to work with the opera, do everything that I do. And for some reason, I felt sort of I was pigeonholed in New York. And maybe I'm just greedy. But I like the opportunity to do lots of different things all the time. And so I feel more at home in Pittsburgh.
That's a great compliment to the city.
Oh, my gosh. Where else can you do that for the love of Pete?
Exactly.
You can't. I mean, that's what's so wonderful about the city. It's so eclectic, and there's so many people doing so many different things. And to be a part of that is so exciting.
And I have seen you through the years in a lot of eclectic roles on many Pittsburgh stages. You are one of the best Falstaffs I have ever seen.
Thank you so much.
Henry...
was it fifth? Henry the Fourth.
But you know,
parts one and two.
I was there the night that David Conrad broke his finger on stage. You remember that? That has got to go down in history as one of the most interesting nights of theater in all of Pittsburgh theater history. Yeah,
yeah. So we had two actors playing Helen Hotspur and the guy, David Conrad, who's now on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He's a villain on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He was, when it came to the sword fighting, he got a little messy. And he stepped off somewhere, broke his finger, right in the middle of the scene, stood up and said, I have to, his finger's like this coming out of his hand. He's like, I've got to leave the stage now. And he ran off, went to the hospital. So the rest of the play, a young man named Scott, I think it was Scott. I'm so sorry if I don't remember.
We'll look it up.
It's terrible. We'll look it up. Yeah,
we'll plug it in.
He's a great guy. He ended up playing Hal and Hotspur.
Right, the two were switching off throughout the run anyway.
Yeah, yeah. And so he ended up playing Hal and Hotspur for the rest of the show and was brilliant.
But then David came back from the hospital for the final act with his hand bandaged up and took it over again, didn't he?
Yeah, just for one little scene.
But still.
It's craziness. It's just nuts.
That was wild.
Yeah,
it was wild. But really, I mean, back to you, really. I mean, you are one of the most brilliant Falstaffs I have ever seen on any stage.
You.
So to go from that to Cat in the Hat, do you pull anything from one to the other? What's your approach to this character coming up in Sioux Circle?
The Cat in the Hat is the thing that I can boast most compare him to is Charlie and Chocolate, not Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, the earlier one.
Gene Wilder.
Gene Wilder.
Yeah.
And what was the name of that movie?
Oh, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
No, it was Willy Wonka and the Chocolate
Factory. Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's one, right. So the Cat in the Hat is somebody you're not sure if you can trust.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what Falstaff is. I mean,
compare it.
Nobody could trust. It was self-interest all the way. Cat in the Hat isn't self-interest. He's just a little bit, you're unsure of him. You just don't know what he's going to do any particular second.
Well, anytime, you know, a six-foot cat walks into a room, I am a little suspicious. just in general.
Yeah.
But what do you think really motivates him?
The cat?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's about storytelling.
Yeah.
I do, essentially. On the other hand, in this show, he's like the baggy pants comedian. You know, he of course he says, now what happens is this. But on the other hand, he wants that laugh. And so he just constantly comes into the scene between scenes, pushing along, making sure the story's going on, but as well giving the audience a little laugh about something. That's what I like about it. It's just sort of this... he's messy. He's a little messy.
Do you yourself feel that you share any common qualities with the Cat in the Hat?
Yeah, terribly. I'm ashamed of myself, but in some respects, that I just love seeing an audience laugh.
Oh yeah.
And if I can find some way to put it in there, I will. On the other hand, people think, well, then you must be doing it through all of your acting stuff, and that's not true as well. I mean, I think the material is what gives you what's funny. The contrasts that the writer presents in the character are what make it funny. Mm. And so I'm constantly digging for that contrast.
Sure.
But yeah, I do like to make people laugh. And I wrote this just last week. My whole career, I think you could boil it down to taking something and making it funny. I mean, that's why I'm hired. That's why I was hired in New York. They had these scenes that weren't working, weren't that funny, and they brought me in and they said, go play. And I was able to make the stuff funny.
Is it instinct that allows you to do that? Or do you really have to think about it, sit down, divide up the beats and things, or is it just instinct for you?
It's a little bit of both. You generally know what makes people laugh,
mm-hmm.
and then what happens is that I'll go into a scene and go, okay, what were you expecting to have out of this scene? And as we work on it over days, stuff just sort of begins to come to me.
Mm-hmm.
So So a lot of the stuff that Cat in the Hat does in Seussical that you'll see in May 1st through 11th.
Oh, yeah, it's coming up real soon.
You'll see a lot of stuff that I sort of worked on and gestated and grew and, you know, try to fan that fire so that it would be fun.
It ain't your grandma's Seussical. This is a...
No, it isn't, actually.
And in honor of the show, you know, we have the traditional Berg Vivant martini, but yes, a Seussical martini. This is actually a prop from the show.
Yes, yes. It's from the scene with Maisie, the bird. And I play Raoul, and I come in and I talk like this. And I give her a drink to drink. So
that was an intriguing preview. So yeah, we'll have to see you and the margarita there in action.
In a big frilly green shirt.
Well, that's worth gorgeous. The price of admission right there. Yeah, I absolutely.
Yeah, nothing like seeing a middle-aged bald man with a frilly shirt on.
And the last role that you did with PMT was Lord Farquaad in Shrek. Correct?
Oh yeah.
Or am I forgetting one in between?
Well, we Thénardier.
Yes.
Thénardier was between them.
These are great roles. This has been a heck of a season for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, just fun. And actually, there is a theme in all of this that they're villain kind of.
Yeah.
And they're also they don't spend the entire time on stage. They sort of come in and comment.
They're crafty.
And then leave. Yeah, and they're very crafty.
Uh-huh.
That's what I like. That's Thénardier's fun to
There's
play.
There's a lot to play there.
There's a lot to play there. And he's what's so great about that character is that he's a complete contrast to everything else going on stage. You know, I have this real intense play about redemption and changing your life and doing what's right. And Thénardier, there's no arc to that character. He is the devil, and he stays the devil the entire way.
Self-interest.
Yeah, it's all about self-interest.
Is there a role that you're just dying to play that you haven't gotten your hands on yet?
Yeah. I've always wanted to play the Cowardly Lion in Wizard of Oz.
Sounds you'd silly. Be great.
Well,
we can make that happen. Let's pitch it.
Please. Please, somebody. I was nearly cast on the national tour in New York, and I did When I Am the King of the Forest, whatever that song for the guy, the director, and he actually fell off his chair. I was like, oh, this is, I've got it. I've got the role. I made him fall out of his chair. That's what you want.
But then he never got up again, and
he died.
Ambulance came.
He's
and
dead.
That's
it's
why.
Very sad. It's a very sad story. No, what happened was he took me aside. He said, you're perfect, but I could only cast you like as not the Scarecrow, the other guy.
Tin Man.
And I said, well, why? He said, because they always make the costumes. The costumes are really expensive to make for the lion, and they're always short, fat guys.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, I was so sad.
You are a tall fella.
I'm 6'6"
Now, has this been an advantage for you in your performing arts career? Or like in Wizard of Oz, has it been something that's maybe kind of thrown it off a little bit?
It's an advantage in that you don't expect to see a big man who can be funny and move around. Thank you, God, that I'm a 54-year-old man who can still fall on the floor and not get hurt. And, you know, I've been very blessed physically that I can still do all the things I want to do. On the other hand, you're right. The height does get in my way. I mean, there's some directors that will never hire me for specific roles because... he's big. He's really big. Look at him. Oh, my gosh. He takes up so much room. Everybody just looks at him because he's so big. It's like having another set piece out there. You know, that's exactly what it is.
We have to pay him twice.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh. It wouldn't be bad.
I like that idea.
Talk to your agent about it. There might be something to that.
But, you know, I mean, it's the people who have the imagination that say, look, that big man, does it really matter that that character... just happens to be big.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck? But a lot of people, you know, they have scale is important to them. And so I understand that. So it's been a blessing and a curse, but not as much a curse. To be honest, people are usually, if you've got the skill,
right,
and they're trying to find some specific kind of thing. Like I played, when I was with the Shakespeare Festival, I played a lot of theme characters.
Mm.
You know, the character comes out and plays a little instrument and does the silent scream at the end. You know, people were always that. I struck their imagination in that way.
Right, right.
But on the other hand, if you're doing a straight play and it's just some guy sitting in a living room talking, they're a little afraid of using an enormous man because what does it say? about what's happening in the scene.
So 6 foot...
6 and a half.
6 and a half plus, what, a 2 foot tall hat?
Yeah.
Gonna be in Seussical here? We have to raise the roof, though, this one.
Yeah. We were just doing one of those numbers the other day. The Things You Can Think, which is the first number in the show. And I don't know if she thought about this, but honestly, I don't think there's anybody in the cast who is taller than 6 foot. So I look like an enormous freak.
It's like the Lilliputians. And,
yeah.
But I think that's going to work for this character.
I think so, too. And it does. And I do comment on it. You'll hear me talking about being the most enormous freaking cat on stage.
Well, we are looking forward to it. And, you know, we should say, too, you know, that although... You know, I think because of all the fun things that happen in Seussical, we might think that it is very kid-friendly, but there are a lot of qualities in this that adults will enjoy as well.
Absolutely. There's really great music. Really touching kind of beautiful songs, Sola Salu and some songs, some little love songs, but really fun big dance numbers. And again, the cat is here to throw out stuff. You know, I will be referencing Justin Bieber and Miley Cyrus and Vladimir Putin is in the show.
Wow, it's current, topical.
Yeah. So, and that's the fun of it. That's
something for everybody.
Exactly right.
And it does, you know, you hit on it there with the songs. You know, the show does get really down to what Dr. Seuss was all about. I mean, all of his books, you know, were fluffy and fun, but there was always a very clear message and an important moral or something like that. I think that really comes through.
Absolutely.
And another great aspect of this is that Pittsburgh Musical Theater uses a lot of their students from the conservatory to get a chance to perform. And they're phenomenal. Yeah. It's really great to see. I mean, we're here at PMT headquarters today, and I hear them rehearsing out in the hall. You know, this is wonderful. It's like a Broadway workshop in here.
Yep.
There's a lot of magic.
Every room is full of dancers right now, which is really fun. That's why I'm here. That's why I work with PMT. Not only do they have a lot of heart and they like me, they care about using their children that they teach in their shows. And this is an opportunity for kids that they can't get anywhere else to be on that stage at the Byam and perform with professional actors is a really cool thing for them. And if you go upstairs, you'll see a list of all the people that now are working in full-time theater, who are on Broadway, who came through this program. It's really, really exciting.
Yeah. And we're looking forward to seeing a lot of them in action.
Yes.
When Seussical opens with Tim Hartman as Cat in the Hat. Now, off topic, a little known fact about Tim Hartman. You are a big Fantastic Four fan.
I'm an enormous comic book nerd. Yeah, I have been since I was very young. And when comics were 10 cents, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those were the days. Now they're as much as a book.
Right.
Which, what's up with that? I love comic books, and mostly it was the art for me. Being an artist, being a cartoonist, I was drawn into that artwork. And I wasn't a great reader. I'm slightly dyslexic, so reading was always a little hard for me. So, you know, it was pictures with a few words. And that sort of brought me into this fantasy world that I just still enjoy today.
What do you think about a stage version of the Fantastic Four? Do you think it would translate? We tried it with Spider-Man.
Spider-Man worked out really well, didn't it? how many actors got killed in that show? No, nobody got killed. I'm saying it's just a joke. They didn't get killed. Maybe. Anyway, I bet that wouldn't work at all. Batman might work.
There was something I thought that they were doing with Batman a while ago. I don't know. I think it would have to... You know what would work, though, is like a campy 60s-style Batman on stage for a musical.
That'd be fun.
That, in fact, would be great.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Who would you play in that?
Who would I play in that? Let me think about that.
I could see you doing a Gorshin-esque Riddler.
Yeah, I could do a Riddler. I could do a Riddler, and I could probably do... Mr. Freeze.
Oh yeah.
Because I'm scary. Yeah, that's the other thing. You make people laugh, but when you're 6'6", you automatically scare people.
Mm-hmm.
I go places and people just sort of back off, which is lovely, because I'm probably the biggest, you know, like fluffiest, like people don't need to be scared of me. But you know, you look at me, you see a 6'6" man walk in a room and you're just sort of like, oh, jeez, hope he doesn't eat me. Yeah. So,
well, we're glad that you haven't.
Every once in a while, you just feel like picking up one of these kids and I don't know what that means, actually. Maybe that shouldn't be in this final thing.
Well, we can scrub that out.
No, no, it's good.
Still come see Seussical. You will not be harmed. No children I will not were harmed in the children. Making of this show. Fantastic. So we're looking forward to seeing you, Tim. Thank you for chatting with us today.
Absolutely. And, it was fun. Please do.
In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and BergVivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find BergVivant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvivant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.